This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Beautiful Tuesday here in New England. And I have to talk about something. I got some feedback yesterday, and I always try to take into consideration what people are really interested in hearing about. And there's a story that I did not give enough time to. And so I'm hoping to make up for that today. It involves Mayor Wu. Mayor Wu extended the vaccination deadline, but 100 Boston firefighters protest mandate outside City Hall. That's from CBS Boston. Now, I want to play a little bit of sound here before I bring on my next guest. Let's play Sergeant Shayna Catone. This is Cut 24.
I am so blessed and thankful that you guys are here. This is what community looks like. This is what people standing up for one another looks like. This is what love looks like. This is what love looks like. This is healing. This is how you overcome a virus. This right here. Not through coercion, not through threats, not through bribery. Those are the things that people get arrested for. That's what the mafia does. But here we are, the government, bribing, threatening, coercing. Do this or I'll ruin you. No. And today, we're all standing here because we say no. We know it's wrong. For some reason, they don't. Their North Star, their moral compass, it's off.
Joining me now is Lou Murray, the Ward 20 Republican chair and former advisor to candidate Donald Trump and contributor to the Boston Herald. Lou, thanks so much for joining the show.
Oh, Grace, thanks for having me on. I was talking to my brother in D.C. He's watching you on Rumble. He said it's hard for Grace to be humble when she looks so good on Rumble.
Oh, boy, that's so sweet. Now, Lou, I have to ask you this. So Mayor Wu did delay this. How are you taking that? Are you taking that as a win? Are you guys still, you know, still set on fighting? Is it over yet? Or do you think she's going to back down?
I think that she's looking for an off ramp, but she's not looking hard enough. You know, this started, she announced her dictates back on December 1st. We're almost into February, and everybody from the Boston Globe, the obtuse people at the Boston Globe, to the Democratic candidates for governor are all saying, where's the emergency? Because they don't want this to be an issue in the 2022 elections. They want this to go away. And Mayor Wu, why don't you listen to the Democratic candidates for governor? Make this go away.
Now, there's this misconception, Lou, that the people who are attending those protests and the people who are against this vaccine mandate are all kind of white redneck Trumpers. But when I look at the videos that you post from these rallies, it is really a diverse group of people.
It's an incredibly diverse group of people, but I don't get into that diversity game. I think it's kind of foolish. We're all Americans. And we're all standing up for our basic constitutional rights. And it just so happens that the police, the fire, the teachers, the paraprofessionals, and all the city workers, whether they're unionized or ununionized, are being unfairly targeted. And so it's just a nice thing to see people from all walks of life, from all neighborhoods of the city, from all religious and ethnic backgrounds standing together as Americans. And I urge anybody, just take a look at my Twitter feed and, you know, watch the 300 to 400 people that showed up at the Paul Revere statue and just see how calm and thoughtful they are. And it was really a great evening. And thank you for having me on to talk about it because, you know, there were only two TV stations covered. We didn't get any coverage in either newspaper. And a lot of other people just gave the story a good leaving alone. But, you know, that happens a lot in this town of cliques.
Yes, I agree. Let's play another clip here from yesterday's rally. This is Aubrey. She's an EMT. Cut 26, please, Jerry.
Let me be clear, Mayor Wu. The 300 heroic Boston City first responders you're poised to fire on January 24th, 2020, are almost all naturally immune from prior infections they acquired in the process of serving the people of your city. For you to fire these heroes from their jobs because they are not complying with the irrational vaccine mandate is not only unscientific, it is the egregious violation of ethical conduct and a serious violation of their constitutional rights.
And I think the word there that I really like is irrational vaccine mandate. And that is what we figured out through the science and through the data. It is irrational because if you're vaccinated and you show your vaccine passport and you're allowed to go to work, which is, oh, it's so nice of all of our, you know, petty tyrants that they'll allow us to go to work if we show our passports, you can still be in there spreading the virus. And I think that's a point of this that gets lost on people, is that not only is it a violation of people's freedom and it's a violation of people's rights, which is the bigger issue here, but it also just doesn't make any sense. Play another one, Jared, that you think is good, maybe 25.
When this pandemic hit, all the kids had to go remote and we didn't get to see our students and we couldn't give them the quality education that we really needed to give them. We've been back into the schools and we've been doing our jobs with our kids. I work with kids who have all different abilities and they need us. They have different needs and they need us to be there for them and we want to be there for them. And they took away all our rights and they're going to just throw us out in the street and these kids are going to be devastated when they know that they're losing their teachers.
Now, Lou, what do you say to people who agree with, you know, where you stand? They understand how unfair this is to the firefighters, to the cops, to the teachers, but they just don't want to get involved.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little story. I went down with the police and the fire. They asked me to MC their event on Sunday. So on Saturday afternoon, I went to the North End. And we were in front of the Paul Revere statue, started talking to this guy. He happened to be a restaurant owner. I agree with you, blah, blah, blah. And then we met this couple from Texas. And they were so happy to be in Boston, but they said they were having an awful visit because every place they went, there was people saying, where's your passport? And they're from East Texas. And people from East Texas are real Americans. And so I said, well, come, we're going to go into this restaurant to have something to eat. We walked across the street, and guy wouldn't serve the two Texans or us. And we felt so embarrassed for the city, embarrassed. It's just, it's not who we are as New Englanders. You know, we're rough and tough and a little growly with the east wind always blowing. But, you know, we're so hospitable to people. We want you to sit down and eat. And it was just, what an awful way for those Texans to leave Boston. I was just embarrassed. We did find another few restaurants in the North End where we could get something to eat and nobody bothered us.
Yeah, I have heard that out of all the places, the North End does have a lot of restaurant owners who will, you know, bypass the rules on that. Lou, I wanted to ask you, this is a little off topic, but I'd be curious for your opinion. Neil Young is coming out against Joe Rogan's podcast, and he basically told Spotify, if you don't take Joe Rogan down, you can't play any of my songs, you can't have my my library of music. And the reason I want to ask you about this is because Joe Rogan is getting so much flack for simply having on doctors who disagree with, let's say, Dr. Fauci or Dr. Rochelle Walensky. It's a tremendous amount of pushback from the left to have any sort of dissenting opinion. Have you found that to be the case for yourself and for the group of protesters who you oftentimes are with?
Well, you know, it's funny, Grace. It's a totally related topic. But I think a lot of people like the Boston Globe, Jim and Marjorie, a lot of people around this town that they want you to only look at certain scientists, but not other scientists. They don't want this whole COVID catastrophe to end because that's when the questions are going to start. And Joe Rogan versus this aging rocker that most kids under 30 have no idea who he is. Joe Rogan's going to win all day long. And, you know, go by the CDC's own numbers. There's been 1 million adverse VAERS reports. And we know that the CDC says that there's a 40% underreporting figure. So figure that out. 250 million people have taken the shot. There have been 40 million adverse reactions.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the question starting, Lou, because in the next segment, I'm actually going to read a piece about the question surrounding the origins of this virus, and more keeps coming out about that. But Lou, give people a little heads up of where they can find you, where they can join in if they want to.
Sure. One quick thing. Please have Dr. Norchasm on as a guest. He has been he's been a leading scientist in following the science and the natural immunity. And he looked at over 300 Boston police officers and said, hey, these people you're trying to fire, they're all naturally immune, Mayor Wu. And so we can connect you with him. But
oh, perfect.
If people want to get involved, they should go to wethepeopleofmass.org. Those are the women that give Michelle Wu a wake-up call every morning. Go to freethehub.com. You can, with a couple of clicks, you can send a message to every city councilor, the coward city councilors that won't hold a hearing, and the mayor and the good old governor who's always firing state troopers. And you can go to bostonfirstresponders.com, bostonfirstunitedresponders.com.
Thank you very much, Lou, and keep up the good work. And he's right about natural immunity. That's the part of it. Again, I said, you know, the bigger issue here is the violation of people's freedoms, because that is, I used to say, a slippery slope, but we're already seeing it. We've already slid down the slope. We're there. But that is something that we're all going to have to deal with now for decades to come. But then when you add in the fact that it doesn't make any sense, that some people are already naturally immune, and what we found out just last week during all this Biden press conference hullabaloo is that natural immunity was actually 6 times more effective at preventing, I believe it was Delta, than the vaccine. And the CDC just slipped that in, that little tidbit, that little interesting factoid, while no one was paying attention. But I was paying attention. All right, Rochelle, I'm always paying attention. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls on this. I do want to talk a little bit about the origins of the coronavirus. Howie sent me a really interesting piece today from the New York Post. It's kind of, it can get a little bit in the weeds, but I think it breaks it down pretty good. And then I also want to talk about Neil Young versus Joe Rogan, because I have a hot take on this, thanks to my husband's musical preferences. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley. Well, I hope Neil Young will remember. I said
a man don't need him around now. Neil Young is in the news, which is making me think maybe he did all of this for publicity, because he's not often in the news. All right, if you missed this story, Neil Young told Spotify it's either him or Joe Rogan. That is not a Babylon Bee headline. That is actually real.
Joe Rogan!
I want you to let Spotify know immediately today, in all caps, Lori Lightfoot style, that I want all my music off of their platform. They can have Rogan or Young, not both. Now, there's so many funny parts to this. One is that Joe Rogan brings in a lot of people to Spotify. A lot of people listen to his podcast. And
I
think
it's 11 million per episode or something like that.
And I'm not saying that old man taking a look at my life isn't, you know, getting a couple hits a day, but let's put this in perspective. Ultimatums, like analogies, are hard. You know, you got to think about it. And in this case, the ultimatum might not work out for Neil Young, because I don't think it's going to be as tough as a decision as he thinks it's going to be. Now, the reason I was especially amused by this, and I don't often talk about my personal life, but like Don Lemon, I don't like to be the story, of course. But I have to say, William, my husband, his favorite singer is Neil Young. In fact, when he was a little kid, for like his 10th birthday, he asked for Neil Young's album, which I thought, wow, that is intense. A 10-year-old listening to Old Man. Strange. But he loves Neil Young. I could take him or leave him. I don't, Harvest Moon's okay. Not really my kind of thing. He also loves Joe Rogan. Listens to Joe Rogan like every chance he gets at work. He's a big Joe Rogan guy. So I texted him today. And I said, looks like you got to make a choice. Choose your fighter. And within 30 seconds, he wrote back, I choose Joe. And I think that's how a lot of people are going to feel. Even diehard fans like Will are going to say, why do you need Neil Young to be such a brat? It's bratty when you really think about it. I disagree with your opinion. And if you aren't canceled and taken off this platform, then you can't have my music. Well, guess what? We'll be okay without your music, bro.
All the 28-year-old executives at Spotify are now scrambling on the internet to find out who Neil Young is, where his music is.
Who is Neil Young? I need to know this. It's all over my emails today. It's crazy, and it actually brings us to our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsbee Inn in beautiful North Sutton, New Hampshire. My favorite weekend retreat, no matter the season. That's Follinsbee, Follansbee, the Follinsbee Inn. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
You can only listen to one for the rest of your life. Which do you choose? Blinken's Spotify, James Taylor, Neil Young, or Bruce Springsteen?
I put this out on my Twitter, and I got so many angry responses from people being like, I'd rather gouge my eyes out. And I'm like, okay.
We will cross this divide.
It's just hypothetical here. It's not real life. If I had to, I'm going to choose Bruce.
Bruce is polling at 17% right now. James Taylor's still in the lead at 40%, 31% for Neil Young, 12% for Blinken's Spotify.
Yeah, his Spotify was pretty bad. I gave it a second look during the break.
His Spotify is fine if he's not a 40, 50-something-year-old man.
Very true.
I don't know how old Anthony Blinken is.
I don't know.
If he's not an adult male, his Spotify is fine.
Yeah. But I didn't know we had such James Taylor fans. John Kerry will be pleased. By the way, my favorite take on the Neil Young situation was this tweet. Someone wrote back, old man, take a look at your life. Stop watching cable news. There could definitely be some good parodies here. All right, I see people on the lines. Maybe you want to talk about Rogan versus Young. I'm down. An old man versus Joe Rogan. Let's talk about it. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
This is every Neil Young song you've ever heard.
Dead dog lying in the ditch. Cigarette smoker has an itch. Secret whores with ancient vices. Lucky has the lowest prices.
You know, for our wedding that was in November, Will wanted, or he had suggested a Neil Young song, Harvest Moon. It's a good song. I don't mind it. But
for like the first dance?
Yeah, but I had a instinct, you know? I said, I don't want that. And now, looking back after this, I'm so happy I didn't choose that. I'm so happy I used my veto power to say, no, we will not be dancing to that, because this guy, he thinks it's like his duty. And everyone thinks they're going to take down Joe Rogan or Dave Chappelle, and all you do is feed the beast. All you do is make them stronger. They come out of the water like Godzilla. You just if they're that wrong, if they're that stupid, if they're that dangerous, then just leave them alone and they'll destroy themselves. But of course they won't, because they have an interesting opinion that you don't have to agree with, but a lot of people find valuable. A lot of people like to listen to Joe Rogan. 11 million people per episode is what Jared had told us. It's 11 million people who want to hear that opinion. And what they, Neil Young is this much of an egomaniac that he thinks that the power of his music is going, it should be more important than those 11 million people who want to listen to Joe Rogan. You don't get to choose. That is what makes this country so wonderful, is that everyone can listen to different things. Do you know how many people probably hate my show? That's okay. Don't listen to it. But you don't need to use these like lame, these, that's the word, lame threats to try to take Joe Rogan off the air. You're not going to be able to play Old Man anymore on Spotify. Oh no! How will I survive this?
Spotify issued a statement about that.
You son of a bitch! I'm in!
Oh, right, 617.
Stupid SOB.
617 brings up a great point. Way to stay true to the hippie ideology there, Old Man Young, of fighting against big corporations and the government and the right to freedom of speech.
That's all these celebrities do, though, now. Oh, and especially all these old rock and roll guys.
Oh, it's like Rage Against the Machine not performing without, you know, the vaccine.
Oh,
yeah. Is it now Rage with the Machine is pretty much the joke.
And all of these people think that they're going to come out on the right side of this. Like in 10 years, we're going to be looking back and going, damn, you know, that was so brave of Neil Young. You know, so brave of him to try to crush any other opinions besides his own. Good for him, man. No, that's not how history is going to remember this. Jonathan, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, Grace, how's it going? I just want to say you have a really great show. I listen to it every day.
Thank you.
And on the Neil Young topic, I just want to say I think he's acting like a baby, and definitely compared to how he was when he was younger, he probably would definitely not act like that. And there's no way they're taking Joe Rogan off the air because of him.
No, and there's a reason why. I don't think it's because Spotify has any, you know, great loyalty to our freedoms or the freedom of speech, but I'm sure Spotify has a nice loyalty to ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Money, 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 money. Money talks, and so does Joe Rogan for 3 hours on his podcast. I shouldn't even be talking about Joe Rogan because Joe Rogan is, you know, basically talking about the same things we are. But I love the fact that he's a free thinker. It's the same reason I love Kanye West and Elon Musk. Doesn't mean everything they say I'm going to agree with them, but I love that they say it. I love that they're not afraid of all the Neil Youngs in the world. Neil Young is like the old rock and roll Karen. That is what he is. He's a Karen at this point.
We should save Neil Young for the Crazy Karen segment on Friday.
We should. Maybe
he is 76 years old, Neil Young is. He's 2 years or 3 years now younger than Joe Biden.
He overplayed his hand big time. He really thought that there was going to be this revolution on Spotify of people saying, hey, 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 you better choose Young because otherwise, like, no. Anyone who would have canceled their Spotify over Joe Rogan's incendiary comments or, you know, not PC opinions, not opinions that are deemed appropriate by the Ministry of Truth, they would have done it by now. He's been on there for a while. You know what I'm saying? It's like Spotify is just the easiest thing to use. By the way, is Anthony, if it's this important to people, if it's this important, and if this is the new standard, then is Anthony Blinken, Tony, is Tony Blinken going to delete his Spotify to take a stand? Is Olivia Rodrigo going to delete her Spotify? Is Taylor Swift going to delete her Spotify or take her music off? Like, if this is the new standard we're setting, that if you want to be a truth teller, if you want to stand for science, then you have to take your music off of Spotify, I'd be very interested to see how many of these artists follow suit with old Neil. I don't think it's going to be a lot of them. All right, now I want to switch gears here for a sec. I want to talk about a piece in the New York Post, and I'm kind of trying to get as much COVID stuff as I can in this last 20-ish minutes of this hour before we bring on Toby Leary, because there were a lot of updates, including a New York judge struck down Governor Hochul's mask mandate, which is great news. A professor from Penn State had a insane tweet that I think is worth reading. He said, "Why is it a parent's right to endanger the lives of other people's kids and of teachers? Maybe people wearing masks should just drive drunk and speed through the neighborhoods of pro-COVID parents as a way to exercise their freedom and rights." That is...
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Yeah, that's one that... And this whole idea, and actually it brings me to a cut here, Jared... This whole idea that if you are opposed to any sort of mandate, whether it's mask mandates or vaccine mandates, that you're endangering people, when in reality, all parents want is to be able to decide whether or not their kids should wear masks. And Peter Ducey asked Jen Psaki about this. Let's play cut 13.
So if a parent wants to send their school, their kid to school with no mask, should that child be allowed to go to school and be in class?
Again, what we're advising school districts on is to abide by public health guidelines and follow public health guidelines. And it's about keeping an entire community safe. And those are the decisions that are being that people should focus on making.
It's all about collective safety. You know, so if tomorrow I decide that the best thing for collective safety is for everyone to give their property to me, and I'll handle the property from now on. And by the way, I will also decide the price of meat because it's not safe for us to be controlled by the big four, the meat conglomerates. I will also, you know, I'll have control of the banks. This is all for safety. This is to keep the community safe. Do you see what I'm getting at here? This can go very quickly. I don't need Jen Psaki. I don't need the public health officials like Dr. Fauci and Rochelle Walensky to decide what is safe for me or for my family. That is something everyone gets to decide on their own every single day when you walk out that front door. It's your decision. These public health officials, if anything has become clear over the last 2 years, which a lot has, it is that they are not to be trusted. They are liars. They are manipulators. And they have no facts on their side. Any fact that was on their side, they disregarded and then they came back to it later. And they smeared everyone else in the process. So no, I don't need the public health officials to keep me safe. Thank you very much. I will pass on that.
Emphasis on collective comrades.
Yes. Community safety. All right, now I want to read a little bit of this from the New York Post. This is a story that we've been talking about a lot here, but they kind of drill down. I think they put it in a way, it's by Nicholas Wade, that breaks it down pretty easily. I'm going to read as much of it as I can. Emails reveal scientists suspected COVID leaked from Wuhan lab, then quickly censored themselves. All right, so a string of unearthed emails is making it seem increasingly like there was, in fact, a conspiracy. Its aim being to suppress the notion that the virus had emerged from research funded by the NIAID, headed by Anthony Fauci. Rumor has it that in order to suppress this information, Neil Young threatened to no longer let Dr. Fauci listen to his music. No, that was just an added. I'm just kidding. The expert virologist therein presents such a strong case for thinking that the virus had lab-made features. And because of the political reaction to this bombshell on the part of Francis Collins, then director of the NIH. So the story begins on January 31st, 2020. In an email to Fauci from a group of four virologists led by Christian Anderson. A lot of these names may sound familiar to you. The genome sequence of SARS-CoV-2 had been published 3 weeks before this email, giving virologists their first look at the virus's structure and possible origin. Anderson reported to Fauci that after discussions earlier today, Eddie, Bob, Mike, and myself all find the genome inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory. Translation, the virus did not come from nature, and it could have escaped from a lab. Okay? So we're all following here. But something remarkable happened at the conference. Because within 3 days, Anderson was singing a different tune. Now, it's this 3 days that a lot of people are curious about. Our journalistic curiosity is piqued. In a February 4th, 2020 email, he derided ideas about a lab leak as crackpot theories that relate to this virus being somehow engineered with intent And that is demonstrably not the case. So in a couple of days, we went from, wow, this really looks like it was manufactured in a lab. I'm paraphrasing, but in science speak, that's what they're saying, I think, to these crackpot theories are dangerous. Anderson and his colleagues then prepared an article published on March 17th, 2020, in the journal Nature Medicine that declared flatly, our analysis clearly show that SARS-CoV-2 is not a laboratory construct or a purposefully manipulated virus. So, whoa, that was a quick 180. That doesn't sound like what you, Bob, Mike, and whoever had come up with a few days prior. That paper, along with an earlier letter in the British medical journal The Lancet, froze into silence any dissenting voices from the scientific community. What happened at that February 1st teleconference to make the virologists change their minds so radically? It was impossible to tell from the emails released in June 2021 because, you know, these emails tend to be redacted. They've got the black stripes through them. The focus of their attention was a genetic element called a... Now, this is actually kind of interesting. Now, if you guys would indulge me here, I know it's a little bit confusing, and I was a little bit confused when I first read it. But a striking feature of some of what was released in the committee's January 11th, 2022 letter is that the virologists had little doubt that the virus bore the fingerprints of manipulation. And that's because they focused on this thing called furin cleavage site. This short snippet of genetic material is what makes the virus so infectious for human cells. The site in the COVID virus sticks out like a sore thumb because no other known member of its family possesses that site. So how did the virus acquire it? Now, Gary of Tulane University remarks in the latest emails on the fact that the inserted site, the virus's genetic material, was exactly the required length, a precision unusual in nature. In other words, they're looking at this thing and they're going, this does not look like something that came from a wet market. Now, Farzin noted that viruses, both routes, direct insertion of the site or tissue culture would mean that the virus came from a lab. Now, they were clearly aware that there was a possibility that the virus started in the Wuhan lab. So I think it becomes a question of how do you put this all together, Farzin wrote, whether you believe in this series of coincidences, what you know of the lab in Wuhan, how much could be in nature, accidental release or natural event. And he said about these theories, I am 70-30 or 60-40, he said, meaning he thought lab origin considerably more likely than not. But just one day after the teleconference at which his experts explained why they thought the virus seemed manipulated, Collins complained about the damage such an idea might cause. In other words, they were so afraid of the politics involved in this that they didn't want to give it any sort of credibility. I'll continue with this when we come back. I think it's interesting. I'd be curious if anyone has any opinions on it. I mean, I know we've kind of rehashed this. I know it starts to feel like, well, who cares? Nothing's ever going to happen. But these emails really do show you that the people who had something to gain from pushing the idea that this came from a wet lab are Dr. Fauci and Dr. Francis Collins. And we'll finish this when I get back. Like Marilyn said, diamonds are a girl's best friend. That is so true. And if you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings. But the price and the fear of losing them has stopped you. Well, now you can get a stunning 1-carat diamond alternative pair for only $79. Each earring is 1 carat, making it a total of 2 for only $79. The quality is amazing. A regular diamond has 58 facets, but the Diamond XL has 106. I'm actually going to lift my earphone up a little bit so you guys can see here on the Rumble Cam. It gives you more sparkle, more brilliance, and more beauty than a genuine diamond. I'm wearing them right now. I can't believe how real they look. I put these on every morning. I absolutely love them. These earrings are made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. They've been in business for 54 years and have over 8 million satisfied customers. And they come in a beautiful black velvet gift box. Men, be the star this Valentine's Day. Your girlfriend, your wife, the lady in your life, they're going to love these earrings. And ladies, treat yourself. If you want to get a pair now. This offer is only good for this week. Shipping is guaranteed before Valentine's Day. I did talk to the mailroom manager today, and she told me, you know, a A lot of people are loving these earrings. You should mention that it's while supplies last so that people aren't disappointed if they wait a few days. I would go to diamondxl.com today. You can save $120 with code word Grace Diamond. Shipping is free. That's diamondxl.com, code Grace Diamond. Like I said, shipping is guaranteed before Valentine's Day, so do not wait. We'll be back with your calls and more about the Wuhan lab leak theory. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Just one last thing on this piece from the New York Post about the Wuhan lab leak theory. So what induced these virologists to such a radical change of view? The February 1st, 2020 telecon sent a clear message to participants that Fauci and Collins regarded discussion of the lab leak possibility, even though plausible based off scientific data, to be politically unacceptable and something that had to be blocked, says Richard E. Bright of Rutgers. Fauci oversees a large portion of funds available for virology research in the U.S. It is not unreasonable to suppose that virologists keen on continuing their careers would be very attentive to his wishes. Both Gary's and Anderson's labs receive large sums of money from the NIAID. And this is a quote from Ebright. Telecon participants with current and pending grants controlled by Fauci and Collins could not have missed or misunderstood the clear message. Collins and Fauci could share a portion of the blame for having funded gain of fund. This is not Ebright. This is just from the New York Post. They write, Collins and Fauci could share a portion of the blame for having funded gain-of-function research despite its obvious risks and then failing to ensure that grant recipients were taking all necessary precautions. If there really was a conspiracy surrounding the origins of SARS-CoV-2, Congress should search for it all. I will post this entire column. I think it's really well done, and I'm still not satisfied with what we know about this. I agree with Scott Hounsell, who I have on the show a lot, who says there have been a lot of different health crises in this country where Fauci has been at the helm, and he's never been as visible as he is right now. He's never been this adamant that he needs to be the face of it, that he cannot leave his post, that he will not stop until the job is done. And I have a feeling that there's a reason for that. I don't think it's just coincidence that at the age of, what, 81, he decides he's got to be all over this thing. There's more research to be done. Where's Dr. Rand Paul when you need him? All right, we'll be back with Toby Leary. Hop on the line now to get your question answered for 2A Tuesday. It's 844-500-4242. 2A Tuesday coming up next.